Hello and welcome to the CISS podcast. This is the Point series by China Forum. In this series, we will have one-on-one discussions with top-level officials, diplomats, well-known entrepreneurs, academics, and media experts from both China and abroad to hear their fresh insights on important global issues.
Hello, and welcome to the CISS podcast. I'm Xiao Qian. South China Sea has been a long-term topic for China-US relations. China has criticized the US freedom of navigation operations in the region, while the US has repeatedly questioned China's ambition and the territorial claims in South China Sea. What are the reasons of the disputes? What efforts should the two countries make to prevent escalations? My guest today is Mr. Zhou Bo. He is now a senior fellow of CISS. He retired as a senior colonel and served as director of the Center for Security Cooperation in the Office for International Military Cooperation at China's Ministry of National Defense before he joined CISS. Mr. Zhou, researchers found that during the Trump administration, the frequency of United States Navy's free navigation actions in South China Sea keeps going up. In your perspective, what are the main reasons?
Yes, indeed. Since the Trump administration took office in 2017, the U.S. Navy has drastically increased its funnel operation in the South China Sea, which is totally different from its previous administration. We still remember during President Obama's administration, Hillary Clinton at least had talked about the U.S. position, which is having no position on the South China Sea, and that the United States would not take sides. But apparently, it's not the case during Trump administration. Not only has the U.S. Navy increased its foreign operations, which is a clear violation of China's sovereignty and territorial integrity, but also the American government has changed its position. It actually has totally rejected China's maritime claim in the South China Sea, which is reflected in Secretary of State Pompeo's remarks. So this is a totally different government, and so that is why we have seen the increase of Americans' operation in the South China Sea, which definitely has made the situation there more volatile and more tense.
Will the outcome of the U.S. election affect the situation in the South China Sea?
Well, I'm not so sure about this question since it has more to do with the American government. So it first depends on how American government might possibly take a new position toward China, which definitely would involve military element. But to look at this situation, we still hope that the new American government may have a new approach towards its South China Sea policy. Why should the U.S. come so frequently to China's doorstep to make provocation? China has no plan to reciprocate, to go to the continental USA to challenge the United States. And even talking about the situation, I have read so many reports published by the United States which argue invariably that the U.S. Navy doesn't necessarily have an edge over PLA Navy within the first chain of Ireland. And the PLA Navy and the whole PLA is growing stronger and stronger. So this kind of provocation becomes more dangerous in that it challenges what China believes to be its sovereignty and integrity. So if China and the United States have to cooperate still in the years ahead, why would the U.S. keep on provoking China and do this kind of obvious provocation toward China?
Okay, as you have mentioned, neither China nor the U.S. wants to have a war. But how can we avoid the escalation of accidents or conflicts?
Well, China and the United States don't want to have a war. And we are very much happy to see that over years, we actually have been making a lot of confidence building in this regard. As early as in 1998, we had what we called the Maritime Consultation Mechanism, which is still in place. And we have what we called a hotline, which is actually a kind of a direct communication link between us And we had the rule of behavior between the two air force and navies, either in air or at sea. And what makes me most happy is that at the end of October, the two Ministry of Defense have actually had the first round of crisis communication working group meeting. They have started discussing about the concept of crisis, so on and so forth. Although this is the first step, it is so important in that hopefully it will lead to concrete measures to prevent any accidents or incidents from slipping into conflict or even war.
Okay, but over the past few years, China keeps developing weapons and naval fleets, which led to some misunderstanding about China's ambitions to the South China Sea. In your view, what are China's true considerations?
Well, China's objective is certainly much bigger than the South China Sea in that for PLA, the objective is very much clear. We want to become modernized in 2035, and we aim to become world-class military in mid-century, and because of the growing overseas interest and China's international responsibility as a major power, definitely PLA will have to play a bigger role overseas. So, talking about the Chinese Navy, for example, we even have more ships than American Navy. So, neither Taiwan issue or South China issue needs so many ships. So the only reasonable explanation is that China have to build a stronger military to protect its ever-growing national interest overseas and to shoulder its international responsibilities. For example, since the end of 2008, China has been sending task forces to work in the Gulf of Aden to escort Chinese ships and foreign ships. And of all the ships that have been escorted by China, half of them are foreign ships. This is an example of how China has been making contribution towards international humanity. So is the case, for example, in peacekeeping, in disaster relief, and so on and so forth. So therefore, China needs a stronger military, which it covers but is not exclusively associated with the South China Sea.
Mr. Zhou Bo, thank you very much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts. That was my conversation with Mr. Zhou Bo, Senior Fellow of CISS. Thank you for listening. I'm Xiao Qian, and you are listening to the CISS podcast. See you next time.